Please be seated. And if you have your Bible, your Bible app, I invite you to pull that out at this time. We're going to be in Luke chapter 11 for the next couple minutes. We are in week number 2 of a brand new sermon series entitled Teach Us to Pray. Last week, we began with an observation that prayer was absolutely central to Jesus' life, that his disciples wanted what Jesus had, and that Jesus was willing to teach them. We also defined prayer as communicating with God, a focus on relationship. Without a prayer life, there is no intimacy to be found with God. In fact, prayer is the pathway to communion with the living God. It was Richard Foster who said, "Prayer ushers us into perpetual communion with God." But who is this God? Who is our Heavenly Father? Let's take a look at Luke chapter 11. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13 as we get underway. Same text as we had last week, because we are studying the Lord's Prayer for the insights it provides into the gift of prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for our chance to be gathered together in worship today. We come to this place at your invitation. We acknowledge your presence here with us. We thank you for the gift of worship. We thank you as well for the gift of Scripture. And so in these next few minutes, as we gaze into these words from Luke chapter 11, give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're starting with this one opening word in the Lord's Prayer, the name Father. But that one word says so much. It makes 2 profound statements that frame the reality of prayer. To begin with, this name says something about God. Jesus' choice of the word Father as the address of the prayer, it was not accidental. There are many names for God in Scripture: the Almighty, the Sovereign, our King, our Lord, our Creator, our Shepherd. But nothing comes close to the love and intimacy of that name, Father. It was used in the Old Testament by Israel, but now given by Jesus for each of us. His Heavenly Father has become the disciples' Father. His Father has become our Father. The word itself is pater in Greek, or Abba in Aramaic. Our use of the English word father is probably just a bit too formal, but daddy is maybe a bit too childish. Abba captures God's complete power and authority and wraps it in the intimacy of compassion and concern. Let me say that one more time. Abba captures God's complete power and authority and wraps it in the intimacy of compassion and concern. Now, some in this room had a less than perfect earthly father, I know. And that makes this concept difficult to embrace. In fact, some have suggested that the remedy for this is the removal of any fatherly sense of God. However, the absent, distant, rigid, cold, even abusive human fathers some of you may have had are not God. God is above and beyond all human fathers. For you, Dale Bruner says, God is the gift of a finally good father. When we see God in this way, we understand who he really is and how deeply he loves us. This name says something about God, but this name also says something about us. It says that we are children of God. This defines us. This validates us. This names our identity. Perhaps most importantly, this places us in an intimate relationship with God. If he is our Father, we are indeed his children. Hear the words of 1 John once again. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. This isn't children of God in a generic sense. Everyone's created by God in his image, but this is something much deeper. Jesus is the only Son of God by nature, but we, by believing, are sons and daughters through adoption. He sought us out and made us his own through adoption. By acknowledging our need, by receiving forgiveness and restoration, by choosing to follow after him, we live into our adopted status. By instructing us to use Father when we pray, Jesus acknowledges our membership in the family. Who are we without this? The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:12, we were without hope and without God, but now in Christ Jesus, those who are far away have been brought near. The nearness is a positional reality for all Christians at all times, but it's fully experienced through prayer with our Heavenly Father. So how should this impact our prayer life? Let me ask you a question. How do you imagine God responding to you as you pray to him? Do you picture God when you pray? You imagine the expression on his face as you turn to him and begin to pour out the details of your life? Does he look bored? Does he look bothered? Does he look angry? Or does he look thrilled to invite you into his presence that you might commune together? I hope that's what you picture when you go to your Heavenly Father. He is that Father waiting at the end of the road with his arms wide open, not asking you to perform, not asking you to do anything, but run into his arms and be received by him. This image is dependent upon who he is and who you are in relation to him. Understanding who he is and who we are in relation to him makes a huge impact on our prayer life. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, receiving mercy and finding grace in our time of need. God is always accessible. He is always interested. He is always pleased to commune with us through prayer. Knowing this and believing this is the beginning of truly experiencing the gift of prayer to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, it is my heartfelt prayer this morning that no matter what baggage or hang-ups we might feel in relating to you as our Heavenly Father, that you would knock down those barriers, that we, as we picture you and turning to you in prayer, would see you ready to embrace us. You are our Heavenly Father. You love us unconditionally. You receive us as your own. You have made us your sons and daughters. And so as we consider the beautiful gift of prayer, you always available, always welcoming. May we open ourselves to you, fall into your arms, and receive the love that you have for each of us. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.